So when you were a kid, did you have any chores at home?
Yes.
Like what?
Doing the dishes.
Doing the dishes? How about you? Dishes? Pardon?
Taking the dog
for a walk. Did you have any chores?
Cleaning your room.
Making your bed. It gets a little better. You don't have to clean the whole room. Just make your bed.
Vacuuming.
And maybe over the years, different things. And who here had chores as a kid? Who here gives your kids chores? And I don't know, but your family sound a little oppressive, though. That's a lot of chores. So, 1920. You could take all the federal laws in the United States and you could contain them in a single volume. It said that by 1980, it would take 50 volumes to contain all the federal laws. And today, all the computers in the world cannot contain them. There are just so many. I mean, think of all the laws just to get from home to church today that govern our driving. Everything from the speed limit, stop signs, how you pass people, how you turn, using your turn signal, how you slow down, don't cross that line. And then there's all kinds of laws about the roads themselves, the curbs, and how thick the pavement needs to be, and the underpayment. All that is regulated. And then there's laws about, like, everything. So, who here on coming to church today did not break any laws? I won't look. No. And God gives the law. See, Moses went up the mountain and received the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments were given by God so that you and I might follow the law of the Ten Commandments, how we are to live and worship God, and how we're to live in relationship to one another. And to keep those laws, to help us to do that, the Jewish people developed all kinds of other laws, hundreds of laws, to help the average Jewish person actually keep those laws. And at a certain point, they realized, no matter what I do, no matter how hard I try to keep these laws, I'm just not able to keep them. So then Jesus becomes the new Moses. And he gives us the new law. Not the Ten Commandments, but the Beatitudes. He gives us the Beatitudes not so that we might know what we need to do, but what the Christian life looks like when it's filled, when the soul is filled with the presence of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we live the Beatitudes. So Jesus would sum up keeping the law with one simple commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. St. Augustine, a great saint from Africa, St. Augustine said, love and do whatever you want. Love and do whatever you want. Because what St. Augustine realized is that love is of God, that God is love. And so that if we love, we will do the will of God. And that what we most deeply will want to do is the will of God. And so in our second reading, Jesus says, the love of Christ is being poured into our hearts. That the love of God is just poured in like a mini-haha that never ends. Constantly flowing. Because God doesn't want to strive to keep the law. God comes to us and dwells within us so that our lives might express the law of love. And really, it makes all the difference. See, if I'm going to just try to keep the law, then it's going to become oppressive. But if I truly love, the law isn't oppressive. If I truly love, then I will go beyond the law. You know, thou shalt keep holy the Lord's day, to go to Mass every Sunday. That's the law. But if you really love God and if you really love your neighbor, then you look forward to coming to church because you go to church and there's God, and you come to church and there's your neighbor whom we want to love. So like your parents, when they got married 50 or 60, 80 years ago, whatever it was, there's this fine print on the marriage license. And it says, the only thing you need to do is love your kids. That's it, right? And so that's why when you were a little kid, your mom got up at 2 a.m. to take care of you when you cried because she loved you. And so when she heard you crying, she knew that the law was saying to her, the law of love, get up, take care of my daughter. And so when you're in need, your mom, she doesn't say, go fend for yourself and here's my credit card, go to the store and buy some groceries. No, she actually cooks your meals, I bet, right? Does your mom cook for you? Does she on your birthday cook your favorite meals? Because she loves you. She keeps the law of love. What God wants is for us to keep the law of love. Because what God wants is for the world to be filled with love. That's why the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, this mystery beyond mysteries, is this community of love. This dynamic, energizing, ever-vibrant community of love, of the Father loving the Son and the Spirit, the Son loving the Spirit and the Father, the Spirit loving the Father and the Son. This incredible dynamic of love. So that the world might be filled with love. So if I was a betting man, I would say you graduates and a couple over there, in 10 years there's going to be 3 things you're not doing. 1, praying every day. 2, going to church on Sunday. And 3, somehow serving the poor and the needy. Those are 3 things that fade in our lives. When we're little, we pray because mom says pray. Go to school, you pray. You get confirmed, you pray. And then eventually you go off to college and you pray less. And then you go to church. You go to church every Sunday through your first communion. And then you start skipping a few masses. And before you know it, you go to freshman year and you go to that college where they got mass every Sunday. So you go for the first month and then all of a sudden you realize, it's been a year since I've gone to church. And serving the poor, serving the needy. In your school, there's ways that you can major in service of how to care for people, how to be attentive to people. But if you're not connected to the one who is love, then probably those who most need to be loved won't be loved through you. So I want you to be trendsetters in the opposite direction. Prove me wrong. Make me pay up. In 10 years, be praying every day. In 10 years, going to church. And I don't care if church is the most boring hour of your week. It really doesn't matter. Because we come to church not to be entertained, but to love. And sometimes when you love, love is rather boring. When my mother was dying, she said nothing. From an objective perspective, it was rather boring. But love would say, nowhere else could I be than at her side. So go to church. And then find ways to serve the poor, the needy. It could be a simple way, someone on the street corner you give a card to, or it could be someone in a nursing home that you go to visit who has no one to visit them, and maybe it's someone who has Alzheimer's. And what's beautiful about visiting someone with Alzheimer's, you can tell the same story, so you don't have to be creative. But that person will be grateful. And when you get into the halls of heaven, that person with Alzheimer's that you came to visit will come and be one of the people who greets you at the pearly gates, and will say to you, you know, when I was in the nursing home with Alzheimer's, and no one came to visit me, not even my family, you came. So I'm here to greet you into heaven. Love and do whatever you want. Let that be your motto, simply to love. To love some more, to love some more. But the only way we can love is if we become aware of and energy and become attuned to the true dynamic of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who through baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist dwells within us. I'm guessing you're ready for the rest of your lives, aren't you? At least for the next day, at least to go to college. It's going to be great. And so know of our prayers for you. And may all of us today ask God for the grace to be filled with the presence of the Holy Trinity.